There's only one issue. There's only one issue about pet food that's basa b'chalav. However, there are a lot of leniencies. Basa b'chalav is only aser kosher meat, meaning meat from an animal that is kosher for a Jew to eat. If the meat that is in the pet food is from a pig or from a type of animal that's not kosher, then there's no prohibition of basar b'chalav. Food technology is extremely complex. You'd be shocked to realize that a lot of the pet foods really is basar b'chalav. They add some because they want to put in, today it's a big thing that the animals should be have nutrients. Animals should be fed well, not be malnourished. So part of the benefit is very easy to put some whey. All different milk products are added into the standard pet food. Most animals are not lactose intolerant. Okay, they don't suffer from that problem. Therefore, it's very common that in the ingredients is going to be milchiks. So now you get into a shaila basar b'chalav. Now, number one, the heter. Basar b'chalav is only also when you b'doraisa, when you cook together meat and milk. If you just have two ingredients put together in a mix, and it's not cooked together, there's no basar b'chalav. But for animals, animals are not machmir. They only are chayv on a deraisa. You're having hana, so the hana is only also when it's cooked together. You're having hana, you don't have hana. You're having hana only if they're cooked together. If they're not cooked together, there's no prohibition to derive benefit.
How about the meat that it's not kosher meat?
So if the meat is not, there's no prohibition to have hana from the meat. Non-kosher meat, you don't have hana from. However, even if the meat and milk was cooked together, it is only a problem if the meat is of an animal that is typically a kosher animal. But if the animal, the meat that they're using in the dog food or in the animal food is from an animal that's not a kosher animal, for example, pig meat, and there are other types of meat, horse meat, that comes from animals that are not kosher, and that meat is being cooked together with milk, that is not an issur, there's no prohibition, midaraisa, of basar b'chalav, and that type of dog food would be permitted. So therefore, basically the rules are, dog food, animal food, does require a hechsher, it does, and there probably are places, but generally, what he writes will be very interesting, is that by reading the ingredients, someone who knows basic halacha can right away, there are guidelines, you can right away instantly determine if it's kosher. Unlike regular food, if you go into the supermarket and you want to buy a candy, you want to buy a chocolate bar, and you read the ingredients, today, in the modern world, it's not accepted that reading the ingredients makes the food kosher. Because we know today, years ago it was like that. Years ago, you want to go into the candy store, you look at the label, and you have basic knowledge of the potential problems, you read the label, and if you're trained, so you can right away determine, is this the latest Hershey product, is it kosher or not kosher? Today, that's not accepted anymore. Because today we know too much. We know that the machinery, there are problems with the machinery. We know the ingredients, even though it says there are ingredients, there are ingredients that it does not mention. Because by law, they're not required to mention. And then there, even the ingredients themselves can be a product of other ingredients. Today, we know too much. Because we know too much today, it's unacceptable today to go into a candy store and to read the ingredients and to buy food and to serve it at your local kiddush on Shabbos. That's not accepted today. However, we still today accept that you are allowed to go into a store, buy pet food, and read the ingredients. You go to the OU website, they give you the guidelines, what to look for in pet food, to look for certain things, read the ingredients, and that's enough. And that's enough. You don't need to be chayish for certain for things because it's not for your consumption. It's for the animal. The standards are much lower. Next, can you feed animal vitamins on Shabbos? Vitamins by medicine, vitamins on Shabbos by human beings. It's all these are very complicated issues. Vitamins generally yes. Medicines generally no. Unless a person is a cholish ein bo sakana. What about giving vitamins and giving medicines to animals that can wait until Shabbos is over? Mutter. All of the chumras of not giving medicine and vitamins by human beings do not apply to an animal. You may come to grind up ingredients. No one is going to come to grind up ingredients for animals on Shabbos. You'll come to grind up your own medicine on Shabbos, but you're not going to go come to grind up the herbs and the different ingredients for the animals. So therefore, there is no prohibition in feeding animals, giving animals its prescription drugs on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Funny question. Humorous question. It's not even funny. Are you allowed to give your dog a haircut during the 9 days? on Tisha B'Av itself. Grooming, he mutter. Okay, all these halachas. I told you some question. It's mutter. Okay, Seder. Now this is probably one of the biggest. Yeah, everything. Okay, let's talk about neutering an animal. Okay, neutering an animal means removing its reproductive organs. It is an iser de oiraisa to neuter a male animal. There's another word. The word neutering is only miyuchet from zachar, lashon zachar. There's another word for a female. What is it? I don't know. I can't pronounce it. It's a word for females when they remove the reproductive organs in the female. That is osur midrabanan. To remove the reproductive organs in the female is an iser derabanan. To remove the male organs in neutering in a male animal is an iser deraisa. Person owns a pet. You are not allowed to do this under any condition. What is the solution? Buy an animal that already had it done. When you buy a pet, if you know that you are going to need to do this service, make sure it is already done before you buy.
To the guy while it's being done.
Yes, let's say you already have it. That's right. Let's say you already have it, and now it's an issue. So the only solution is to sell it to a guy temporarily and have the guy have it neutered. Otherwise, it's an iser d'oraisa. It's a serious halacha. Next halacha. To remove its reproductive organs. Kosos is by the blemishes. It's a pasuk in Vayikra. It's a ferish pasuk. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue. I don't remember it on the tip of my tongue. It's a pasuk in the Torah. You're not allowed to do this. Now, what about what's it called? I'm just using a loose term because I don't know the exact terms. Birth control. you feed female animals different things which just prevent them. It's only temporary. What's it called? Contraceptives. Mutter. That's indirect. That is permitted. That's permitted. Okay. Next halacha. Next shayla. Let us talk about a very common shayla tseida. You have a dog. You have a dog in the house, and you have a guest for Shabbos, and the guest is petrified of dogs. So what do? Send the dog into your bedroom and lock the door. Tseida. Trapping.
You send the guest inside the bedroom.
Ooh, very good. Very good. I like that one. I'm going to write that one down. That's very good. Tseida. So here's the rule, it's very easy. There is no such thing as seda on a domesticated animal. Animals are divided in halacha into three categories. Domesticated, not semi-domesticated, and non-domesticated. Now, when I say the word domesticated, I don't mean what it means in the world. It means from your perspective. From your perspective, if you have a dog that's loyal to you, that's called domesticated. There is no prohibition whatsoever trapping the door in a room. Why not? Because if I want, I would say to the dog, Mr. Dog, please come with me. Come with me. I want to talk to you privately in the bedroom. The dog goes with you. Whatever you tell your personal pet to do, it does. He listens to you. It's a domesticated animal. You motion to the dog, it comes after you. Since this creature is a creature that has been trained, has been accustomed to your bias and fully listens to you, even if you don't tell him what to do, and you trap him, there's no tzeda. Tzeda is only on the creature. The only way, it's very important to understand the principle of tzeda, the only way this creature is caught is through deception, is through tzeda, trapping. Tzeda in the way is deceptive. But if this creature can be contained through a conversation, through your body language, because he's a domesticated pet, then you're allowed to trap him. I don't have the patience now to use my body language to convince the dog to stay in the bedroom. The dog's in the bedroom, shut the door. Oh, by you shutting the door, you're trapping the door, and that's not called tzeda, because I have the ability to go and keep the dog in the bedroom by taking him into the bedroom. Now let's say it's a new pet. You buy a new dog. Brand new dog. You got this dog Shabbos. I got Friday. Friday I went to the store and I bought a dog. And it's its first Shabbos. And it's a Shabbos. I also happen to have a Shabbos guest. And I want to show him the dog. He's petrified of the new dog. So I have to put the dog in the bedroom. But the dog is not yet trained. The dog is not yet familiar with me. He's scared of me also, the dog. The dog, we're not on good terms yet. That's called semi-domesticated. That indeed is a problem. If you have a new dog, don't buy it Erev Shabbos. You buy a new dog, you have to buy a new dog. Really, it's a halacha. If you buy a new pet Erev Shabbos, you got a very big problem on Shabbos for tzeda. When you're going to want to lock him up in a room, trap him, close the door, you got a problem because he's not listening to you.
A horse is considered.
Yes, horses are. Here's the pasuk. That's saying, "Uve'artzechem loy sa'asu." It talks about the blemishes of animals. You're not allowed to offer on the mizbech an animal that has its reproductive organs damaged or removed. And then the pasuk goes on to say, not only may you not offer this animal on the mizbeach, uve'artzechem loy sa'asu. You may not do this. It is forbidden to do this. Loy sa'asay in the Torah, a male animal to remove its reproductive organs, it is an iser de'oraisa. What about female? Doesn't address the females. Iser midrabanan, so you cannot neuter a dog. You have to buy one that already was neutered. Number two, so this is an issue, and when it comes to tzedah, if you do not buy a pet Erev Shabbos, because then the animal is indeed subject to tzedah. Once the animal is domesticated, he does whatever you want, so then it's not subject to tzedah.
Because house?
What?
So
you're locking him up in that person's house. So it's a problem. It's a very big problem. Tzedah is a very big issue. You have to have pets that are domesticated. In other words, that they're very comfortable with you. The pet is. Yes. Yes,
so
they are.
Put them in a corral, it's okay. Yes,
okay, that's right, because the horse would come with you. Wherever you take the horse, it would go. If you just hold it by the reins, it goes wherever you want to go. Such a creature that would go with you wherever you want it to go, if I'm not telling it to go now, but I deceive it. It's here. It really wants to go outside to get some fresh air. I shut the door. I trap it inside. I have not done a ma'aseh tzedakah because this is not a creature that is subject to tzedah. Tzedah is a creature that doesn't listen to me. It does whatever it wants. Now I won, I prevailed, I got you, I captured you, I put you under my authority. That's called tzedah. But if the animal is an animal that's very good with me, if I tell it to go here, it goes here, I go there, so such a creature is not in the category of it being subject to this principle called tzedah. That basically means a fully domesticated pet. A pet that's not fully domesticated, even though it doesn't just nature doesn't listen to you. Oh, birds are impossible. Birds are not domesticated. Birds are subject to tzedah. So therefore, you better make sure the bird is locked up in its cage before Shabbos begins. If it's not locked up in its cage before Shabbos, you got a big, big problem. And when you feed it, where will it go? Out the window. You'll never see it again. Okay, you'll never see it again. And what about feeding it? When you open up the cage to feed it, you got to be very, very careful when you open up the cage. When you open up the cage, that you have to always block its exit, so when you close it, it should not be called tzedah. When you feed certain types of birds, they're bird cages, so you can either put the food in through the fence, whatever, or you can open it up. It's easy. Open it up and put in a whole bowl of Cheerios. Open it up. If you do that, you open up the gate, then the bird can right now leave. When you're going to close it, it's tzedah. You have to open up in a way where at no moment in time would it be able to escape. Because if you'll open up the cage in a way where a moment it could escape, now by you closing it, you're doing a ma'aseh tzedah. So it's very difficult to feed birds. When you feed birds on Shabbos, or even hamsters, things like this, you have to be very careful that you should not be in violation of tzedah when you open up their cages temporarily to give them food. Okay, I'll tell you another funny halacha. It's not so funny. Another funny halacha. Does, let's say you have a special quarters, a special for the dog. He has his own room where he has his toys. He has his own little section. Does that room need a mezuzah?
A doghouse.
A doghouse. A very good doghouse. Yes, a doghouse needs a mezuzah provided it has the correct dimensions. 10 tefachim high. It's not so big. It's not so big, a doghouse. The Brady Bunch. Ever watch the Brady Bunch? They have a doghouse. A doghouse that has the right dimensions, then it does need a mezuzah, even if there is a foul odor. Would you believe that? A foul odor, as long as the mezuzah should be contained, the mezuzah should be enclosed in proper protection, so it's not exposed to the odor. But a doghouse needs a mezuzah. How do you like that? Everyone agrees to that. Halacha, people, this is a very important halacha. A single woman.
A garage for a car?
Yeah, without a bracha, yes. But without a bracha, yes. A machson. Yes, storage, yes. L'chatchila needs a mezuzah without a bracha. Yes, a doghouse also without a bracha, but it gets a mezuzah. Okay, halach, you don't know this halacha. A woman, a single woman is not so simple if she's allowed to have a big machlek if she's allowed to own a dog. A single woman, a woman that does not have any company, no other women with her, no. You think about it a little differently, I'm not going to elaborate. A woman who is alone, a woman who is alone is not, there is a halachic question, technically, if she is allowed to own a dog.
A cat,
ideal is mutter. I think it's only a dog, not a cat. Okay, we live in a world today, look on what's going on out there on the street, how many dogs there are today. Lonely people are very, very lonely. They need some company, they need a dog. And this is a very big shiloh for women today. Halacha l'maaseh, the poskim are very, they're very makel. They're very makel, and they allow women to have dogs. They do allow single women who are living alone to have dogs, but it's not so pashut. It is not a simple matter. Mutter. There's no prohibition for him, only a female. Only a female. That's a Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says. The conditions, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Females. Okay. Let's just finish. Any quick halacha. Bringing a dog into shul is a very, very big problem. There's a chilek between Eretz, you shall see there's an exception. Exception: seeing dog is not for it's for the person, not for the dog. But bringing a dog in, there's a chilek in Eretz and Chutz Liaretz. In Chutz Liaretz, you want to bring you to people. You know, we think the whole world is like flappish. Go out of flappish is a different world. People come to shachros, they have a dog. People go daven, they have a dog. They take the dog in the shachros. They park their dog out. They want to put the dog in the shul. They know, park their dog in the shul for half an hour. And they daven shachros. Are you allowed to bring a dog into a shul? In Eretz Yisrael, it is also the Chiz Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz Yisrael, because the kedusha, the combination of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hakneses in Eretz Yisrael, it is also to bring a dog into a Beis Hakneses, a Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael. In America, in Chutz Yisrael, the meaning is to be. It's not the machlokes. It's not so clear cut. No, I never saw. Actually, I never saw. An eye seeing dog is a different discussion. That is mutter. There's no one going to tell you that's mutter, because the dog, you're not doing it for the dog. The dog is for the person. That is an exception to the rule. But just stop. Person brings a dog. He has a dog. He's going to have a chakras. What am I going to do with the dog? So you have to. It is not so simple. You're allowed to allow a dog into shul. Okay. Hakoras hatoiv to a dog. So there are two stories in the Gemara where dogs were given honor. There was a dog buried with honor, with kavoy. They were masked, then there was a dog that was given a seat to sit next to one of the Amorim. There was a person that was named after a cow. Rabbi Yochanan ben Parta, after the stories, Chazal find that they mechabed animals. They actually, a dog that sacrificed itself for a human being, did noble actions. There's a chiv of hakoras hatoiv to a dog, to eulogize. Don't laugh. When you hear stories about people having funerals for dogs and doing these crazy things for dogs, it's not a joke. There are sources for this in Chazal. A person has an obligation to be makir toiv to his animals. If they went the extra mile for you, they were good to you, they did you toivis, you have to show them hakaras hatoiv. Incredible chiddush. What? I don't know. But this one, I really don't know. No one knows these things, how these things work, but that's what it says. That's what it says in Chazal. Okay, another important halacha. You're not allowed, this is more of a Kabbalah halacha. You should never eat the dog's leftovers. It's not a Rebbe. Don't take shirai. Don't take shirayim from a dog. If you serve a dog, you have to feed the dog, right? You give it a piece of steak. You give it some food. It takes a bite from the steak. And he says to the master, come on. This is why you serve me. You don't have better steak than me? And it goes away. And you, now these are the common shilas. You know, I'm telling people, they give dogs leftovers. Shabbos leftovers. They give them some meat. They give him some meat, the dog takes a bite out of the meat, and the dog eats a little bit, and the dog doesn't like it, and it goes away. So you want to finish off the leftovers from your dog. You're not allowed to. Once a dog eats from a portion of food, you're not allowed to eat the leftovers. Why? Why? Either it's sakana, who knows, the dog may have some disease, who knows, or it's kabbalah in yonim. You're not allowed to eat leftovers from a dog. You're not allowed to walk barefoot. in a place where a cat lives. Wow. If you have cats in your home, so this is a very big problem in halacha, people make today, that if you have cats, someone has a cat in the house, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to walk barefoot where a cat hangs out.
Why?
Because it's poison. A cat may have poison, and then the person that may have some open wound on the bottom of his foot, and that cat poison may enter into your body and not even realize it. Halacha l'maisa, we're very makel. Halacha l'maisa, we have cats. They have cats, and they walk barefoot, and we hold kosei. We have clean.
How do you walk a dog on Shabbos?
What? Very important. How can I forget? We're going to the last thing we'll finish. Walk a dog on Shabbos. You walk a dog is nala du melacha. Just like you're nala du melacha, an al min adu melacha. Therefore, an al min carry. You're only allowed to put on a dog only an object, clothing, something that's for the benefit of the dog. Anything that's hanging on the dog because it's just an ornament may not be worn on the dog in a place where there is no Erev. The dog has to know if the Erev is up or down for Shabbos. Okay? Because the dog is not... If you own the dog is not allowed to carry on Shabbos. A dog at any animal's muksa, you're not allowed to touch a pet on Shabbos. Usser, usser, not allowed to touch, muksa, not allowed to move. So you want to walk the dog, so you can go out on Shabbos, even in a place where there is no Erev, where there is no Erev, you're allowed to walk a dog on Shabbos with a leash, and you have to be very careful, two things. The leash should not sag, it's very hard to do this. The leash cannot go below one tefach. One tefach is four fingers. Make sure the leash does not droop, less than, it's called the collar is the dog's malbush, so it's not called carrying. It's his garment, and you need to hold him. The leash may not droop less than one tefach to the ground. Make sure you keep the leash above a tefach. Never let it hit the ground.
No error.
No error. Only there's no error. Number two, the leash may not, whatever part of the leash that is in excess, you're holding on to the leash, you have to wrap it around your hand. Do not allow more than one tefach of the leash to drape from your hand. Because anything that's more than one tefach is considered to be excess, it's called you're carrying. So the leash has to be wrapped around your hand. No extra portion of the leash can come out of your hand. And as you walk with the dog, make sure the dog, the leash does not go below a tefach on the ground. This is mutter on Shabbos, and of course you need to give it a nag, even though it's muksa, and you're not allowed to move it, but you can give it a little nag. That's not called moving it. That's directing it. What?
Can you clean up after the dog?
If the waste is disgusting in your eyes, yes, it's graf shel rehi, it's mutter to remove the waste. Correct, it's mutter. What? On Shabbos, no. On Shabbos and in the street, you're not allowed to carry more than Dalai Lama's in the street on Shabbos. But it's not muksa, right, exactly. More garbage, no, garbage can also, you're going into a kli. It's not so simple to go let the dog release waste. It's a big problem on Shabbos. It's a big problem. A child, mutter, same halacha, In a place where everyone have a child on a leash, same halacha, not same exact halacha. Don't let it sag, and don't let the excess go down there. Okay, we did. That's it. Tomorrow we go on to new halachas. Something else. It's a very good sefer, fantastic sefer.
Dar ve padash mera ba amen amen yasma u kone di kare mushke ono yeme kone korde di sai ba gro sa bolim ru amen ei ei ora 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 ora